Thank you so much. What a joy to be in the pulpit again. It wasn't planned. Okay. Don't want it to roll off there. But anyway, it is an honor to be here again. I'm sorry that Pastor Eddie got trapped in Miami and had to spend the night. I saw the little devotion this morning, so kind of caught up as to where he was, and hopefully he's in the air as I speak. So if he drops in, we'll know it was supernatural. So anyway, but thank you for being here. It's always an honor. I have, during worship, I have to tell you, I just felt waves and waves of his love and grace. It just came like waves over me, and I hope you did too, because God's in love with you. And this morning, God has something to say to all of us. And so let's get in the Word together, but let's pray before we do. Father, we just ask you to open our minds, our hearts, and give us the grace that only you can give us. Lord, may the spirit of wisdom, may the spirit of revelation and understanding belong to all of us. If there's one here this morning that's never said yes to the Lordship of Christ, that this morning, Lord, that you would touch them with such love that, Lord, they would want you so much. And other needs, Lord, those that need healing, those that need to lay down some things, I thank you, Father, for the grace bigger than we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, want to take your Bible, if you have it there, and go with me over to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start there. Let me tell you what I want to talk to you about for a little while this morning. I want to talk about the rock of Revelation. You know, the Bible is full of the word rock, that Jesus is the rock. But I want to talk about, and I will start over in the 16th chapter of Matthew and just looking at it. And then we got two or three more stops and try to weave it all together and come to a conclusion as to what God might want to say to us this morning. You know the scripture well. In Matthew 16, Jesus comes to the region in verse 13, the region of Caesarea Philippi. And when he gets there, he begins to encounter them with some questions. The first thing is in verse 13 and 14. Who does the people say I am? Well, that was a public question. What's the buzz out among the people as to who I am? And well, I mean, you know, they had some answers. Some say you're John the Baptist or some Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That was what the buzz in the community was. Who do you say I am? And this is what they were hearing. The second question that he asked starts there in verse 15. In 15, he said, but who do you say? How many of you know it's always gets personal with God? How many of you can't go to heaven because your wife's going? Come on now. I think I've said this back in our first church. This is always funny to me. There was a little grocery store in the community we lived in, and I stopped there one day to get something, and I just got out of the car, and this guy was getting out of his car, and so we're walking to the store together. I said, sir, let me ask you something. Are you a Christian? He said, I got a sister that's a preacher. And I almost wanted to stop. And why? And I thought, that wasn't what I asked you. He was hoping his sister was good enough to help him. How many of you know, it's always, without exception, who do you say I am? What do you believe about me? That gets down to me, to the nitty gritty. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, I know who you are, verse 60. You're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. I love heaven's response in Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, verse 17. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father's in heaven. In other words, you don't get this by looking at me. How many know Jesus didn't wear a halo? Come on now. He looked like everybody else. And so Jesus said, you don't know who I am by just looking at me. You know who I am by divine revelation. The Father hath revealed this unto you. And then he says, and I love this, then he says in verse 18 and 19, this is what he says. I love it. And I say to you, upon this, and really we've misunderstood that along the way. He wasn't building his church on Peter. He was building his church on the rock called Revelation. I know who you are. So when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus responds and said, upon the revelation of who I am and what you just now said, I am going to build a church. Hallelujah. And you know, that's a pretty good foundation. This church, he said, will be called the Ecclesia. When you talk about the church, you have to talk about it in to me, there's a head and a tail. I mean, it's like a coin we spin. There is the oikos, which is our family. When you got saved, you and I were born into a family. We belong to the family of God, and we belong as brothers and sisters in Christ. But the other side of that coin, when you were born again, you stepped into the called out ones, the Ecclesia. You know that. The Ecclesia, its name and meaning comes from those who ran a little like Florence, Alabama back in those days. You would have the court area where the elders would sit in that area and rule and reign over that town. In other words, they were the governmental authority in that town, and they were called the Ecclesia. How many of you know Jesus didn't save you to sit sour, doubt, and do without? Can somebody say amen? Jesus saved you to be part of the family. Jesus saved you to be the Ecclesia, the ruling factor in the world in which you and I live. Not you, but he who lives in you. I say it like this. The culture is supposed to be built, first of all, on what's going on in your house. Second thing, what's going on at the church house? Come on now. How many of you know what's going on at the church house will affect what goes on at the White House? So when the White House is having problems, if you'll just keep backing it up, it probably started before the White House. So what does God do to fix it? He starts at the root and works its way back to influence the whole sphere of culture. Jesus did not come to be like the culture. He came to change the culture. You and I are born again not to blend. If Jesus prayed it in John 17, Lord, I'm asking you not to take them out of the world, but take the world out of them. You know, the thing about Moses, he got Israel out of Egypt, but he never did get Egypt out of Israel. I mean, they grumbled and groaned and carried on the whole trip. And we will see that here in just a few minutes. So the Lord has caused us to be born again. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became part of the family, the oikos. And then you became part of the Ecclesia. That means wherever you are, you bear the one in you bigger than he who's in the world. And you know that light has power and authority over darkness. Darkness has no power. It only comes where there's an absence of light. So Jesus said, I'm going to build my Ecclesia. Now, how's he going to build his Ecclesia? He's going to build it on the revelation that Peter said, I know you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He's not one of the bunch. He is the bunch. Come on now. How many of you know? Listen to me. Before the foundation of the world, all of this was planned. And then that one day, glory to God, when that little Virgin Mary encountered an angelic being, and that angelic being said, Mary, you're going to have a son. She said, I don't know a man. And this is Lauderdale language. Ain't no problem here. The Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and you will become pregnant by the Spirit of God. She was. Hallelujah. How many know she was so pregnant, right after she got pregnant, she went to see Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John, walked into the room, and that little embryo in her caused John to get full of the Spirit, and so did Elizabeth. And how many know they just had a shouting spell right there, and she's only carrying an embryo. Bless God, I'm not carrying an embryo. I'm carrying the living Lord Jesus, and so are you. Hallelujah. Not an embryo. You're carrying him. And aren't you glad? I love it. Aren't you glad that on what we call the time of dedication, when they took him to the temple, and I love what the old preacher said while he's at the temple. One of the elders said, who you, boy? Where'd you come from? He said, well, on my mama's side, she's Mary. On my daddy's side, I'm from eternity to eternity, even then. And you remember that? And then, come on, I worked in the carpenter's shop when he's about 30 steps out on the arena in the Jordan River. John baptizes him. I can just see Jesus walking up to John. John said, oh, no, you do me. Jesus, and again, this is Lauderdale. Jesus said, I'll do you later. You do me now. Baptized him in water, came up, and the Spirit of God came upon him from heaven. And when the Spirit came on him, the Father said, this is my boy. Hear him. He's got something to say. Hallelujah. 3 years he walked around on planet Earth. You know the story, but we need to blow the dust off of it. You know who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God. He lived as the Son of Man, never as the Son of God, though never ceasing to be. And then the day came. No man takes my life, said Jesus. But I'm going to lay it down for every one of you here at Grace House, online and around the world. I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to lay it down, but I'm going to come up again. The disciples didn't get it, but he came up. Hallelujah. And this is what's being said here. You don't know who I am by looking. You know who I am by revelation. And if you know who I am, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, I only got one in my pocket here, but I know one thing about keys. You can't hurt folks with them. You can't throw them at folks. You only do two things with keys. You lock it and you unlock it. So what were the keys that he said, I'm going to give you, if you're in the kingdom, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What are they? I believe they're 2 Corinthians 1:20. I believe those are the keys. Everything else relates to 2 Corinthians 1:20. And this is what 2 Corinthians says. Every promise now is yes and amen in him. So if you can find a promise, right beside it, it says amen. Every promise is yes and amen. And so now he's saying to Peter, I'm going to build a church. And now watch this. And hell cannot overcome it. The ecclesia on the revelation. So the greater the revelation, we walk in that greater revelation, the greater the brightness of God's glory and less of the darkness that has power and authority. That's where we are. So this is where it all started. Now, keep that in mind. And I want you to turn your Bible pages back to Exodus chapter 17. I want to show you something. The Lord began dealing with me about this. And when Miss Mickey called, it kind of came alive in my heart that I was to share this morning. In the 17th chapter of Exodus, let's put the context here. The context is that God has brought Israel out of Egypt. You know the story. Out in the desert, and they're out in the desert wandering around, and so the Bible says in verse 2, they're contending with Moses, and they're complaining, and they're carrying on, and like our neighbor used to or something. But anyway, so they're grumbling and complaining, okay? And now they're thirsty. Well, you can imagine, there were a few million of these people. I mean, we're not looking at a faucet. We're looking at a problem, and they needed water in the desert. So Moses, verse 4, cried out to the Lord,
and said, what shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to kill me. I mean, they're about to mess up their preacher. They're going to stone him. And the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod and with which you struck the river back there when you crossed. Remember that one? Remember that one? When he got to the river, the army was behind him and the Red Sea before him. And what did he have? He took the rod and touched the water and it parted. Now let me talk about that rod. If you remember when he met Moses, God said, throw your rod down, Moses. Threw it down there. What happened to it? Turned into a snake. And then the Lord said, pick it up again. Now the snake got out of it. God wants to get a snake out of you and me. Well, wherever there's a yieldedness in my heart, the snake cannot prevail. So now he's carrying the rod. It goes to the Red Sea parts. Now he's got these few million people grumbling and complaining about being thirsty. And God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some elders and the rod. Take what you committed to me. Look at the next verse. And I want you to strike the rock in Horeb. And when you strike it, he said, I will stand on the rock when you hit it. Now what was going on? And so he goes and he strikes the rock and water comes out. Now, I'm in a lot of water. You do understand, we're not talking about a faucet. We're talking about water to quench the thirst of a few million people. Well, when I look at it, I'm going, But here's what got me. God said, Father said, I'm going to stand on the rock. You hit the rock. Wow. Hit it. Strike it. And he did. All right? Let's go to another place. Go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. In the 20th chapter, Moses has got the problem again. The 20th chapter of Numbers, verse 7 through 12. Here's what's going on. They're still fussing and grumbling. They're still fussing and grumbling and complaining to Moses. And so what am I going to do, Lord? And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 7. Now, hang on, folks. The Lord spoke to Moses in verse 7 and said, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod. There it is again. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water, that you may bring water for them out of the rock and give water to drink to the congregation and the rod. But now he's got the same thing he did before. He's got the rod in his hand. He's got Aaron, congregations before him. But God didn't say strike it. God says speak to it. Same rock, different method. Now, the interesting thing, now Moses is mad. Here it is. The preacher's mad. Look at it. Well, I'll just read the whole verse. Moses, verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Don't that sound like a mad preacher to you? What if Pastor got up Sunday morning and said, glad you rebels are here? Well, I wouldn't come back, would you? Well, no, I'd be afraid he's going to shoot me or something. Moses said, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice. That wasn't what God said. God said, speak to it. He struck it twice with his rod, and water came out. Grace. You ought to write in your Bible right next to that, water came out. Grace. There was grace, and that was a grace water. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. You didn't hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. This incident, God said to Moses, now listen carefully, because you did what you did, you can see, but you can never possess. You'll always be wanting to get there, but you'll never get there. That's what he just said to Moses. You're always seeing it, but you'll never get there because of what you just did. Now, let's talk about why. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please, quickly. In the first, you would know this well, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first four verses, Paul gives us a revelation of what I've been talking about. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all were baptized through the sea. All were baptized or passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the, now watch this verse. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. See, when Moses struck the rock, prophetically, it was Christ he struck. I wrote somewhere in my notes about that 90 times in the Bible when the word strike is used, it means to strike dead. And so here is the first incident. He strikes it. Water comes out. Who's he striking? The Christ. What was that? The cross. Prophetically, Moses is exemplifying the cross. The cross was the striking of my sin, your sin, the world's sin, upon the Son of God who was now dying for us and as us. So, that was done. So the second incident, when God said, there's the rock, you need water, speak to it. Don't strike it. Why? The cross has already been. Stop trying to add to the cross. Go to the cross and find what it has to say. He said, I want you to go to the rock and speak to it. Speak what? Speak what I said. And so here I am. I can't go back to the cross. You don't need to die again. I'll be honest with you. And I respect it. I don't care for crosses with Jesus on it. He's off of it. Hallelujah. He's in the tomb and then out of the tomb. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We don't need to go back to Calvary and try to redo. Brothers and sisters, come on now. It's a done deal. Praise be to God. He's done all that needs to be done. Do I believe that? See, therein lies the flood of what God wants to do in my life. And so here's Moses having to deal with two of these. One time, whoop. One time, talk to it. But he's mad. And his emotions were overriding his obedience. Never done that, have you? Of course, I lie a lot. But anyway. And so what did he do? Instead of speaking what? Speaking to the rock, what God had said about the Christ, which is the rock, then he strikes it twice. Now, to me, here's the rock of revelation for all of us. It's a done deal. When Jesus said at the cross, it's finished, it wasn't nearly done. It's finished. And you know it's the word teleos. It's finished. Nothing to be added. I don't need to do anything. All I need to do is receive it. So he said it's finished. And I love it when he said it's finished. Guess what? God tore the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom, and God opened his arms and said, Grace House, come. You can come now. Not based on what you can do. You come based on what he just did for you. There's the rock. Speak to it. And so, he said, it's finished, and bowed his head, and my goodness. Then he has an encounter. I mean, they put his body in the tomb, but he goes down and preaches to the spirits in prison. Can you imagine? I think I said, can you imagine? And this is my sanctified imagination. So Jesus says, we hope it's sanctified, but anyway. Can't you see this? You know, the devil didn't know Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. You know, the Bible says that. The devil is not as learned as sometimes he wants you to think. He don't know everything. Can't be everywhere all at the same time. Does not have all power. He is a fallen angel. Okay? Now, so he didn't know Jesus was going to be crucified because, you know, he had trouble with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but he never had trouble like this guy named Jesus from Nazareth. So he orchestrated that and got Judas to do this. And all the time, God's working a plan. The devil don't even know it. God's working a plan. And so Judas betrays him. They crucify him. And so the devil's down there having a party. I mean, you talk about a party. All them fallen angels, those demonic powers now in the underworld are having a party. And the king, Satan himself, is going, we did it. Yeah, we did it. And they were just celebrating because they've gotten rid of the one that has caused them the party. And then one little demon comes up and said, sir, I hate to bring this up, but I hear footsteps. Can't be. We crucified him. They put him in a tomb. It's over. Okay, sir, you're the boss. In a minute, sir, I have to bring this up, but they're getting heavier. And about that time, the king with the nail prints in his hands and his feet walks, kicks the door open, walks over to Satan himself. Now, this ain't in the Bible, so don't look for it. I'm trying to give you a picture of what I think really happened. And he walked over to the devil, and the devil himself has to bow his knee. Now listen to me. The devil himself has to bow his knee. And Jesus walked over, put his foot on his neck, reached down, and got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Listen to me. Resurrection morning, he came out and said, hey, boys, look what I got. I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And because I live in you, you can triumph in your day and in your world. Hallelujah. There it is. Wow. No wonder they call it a great salvation. Look what he's done. So why do I want to go back, strike the rock? Why don't I get in agreement with what he said and come to the rock of all ages, the rock of ages, Jesus the Lord, and say in his presence at the foot of the cross, I've come to claim what you said I could have, hallelujah, and I'm stepping into it in the name of Jesus. There it is. Don't strike the rock. Believe and say what he said about us. Glory to God. Well, y'all, excuse me for getting excited about this, but I can see this. I see it when I see it. I can feel it. It's like it's real. We're not talking past. This is not Hollywood. Folks, this is real. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. Listen to me. The Word of God works. Hallelujah. Go, Washington don't agree. Who gives a rip what Washington says about this? This is still God's eternal word. Do you understand me? This is right. And it will work. Come hell, high water, good day, bad day. It don't matter. The word is the word when the sun comes up. And it's the word when the sun goes down. And you can stand on it. You can get it in you. You can decree it. You can declare it. And what you walk in, you can have. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a God bless you. Would you do that? About to preach myself happy. Hallelujah. It's just good news. Jesus didn't come to bring you bad news. He came to give us some good news. See, people get all hung up on semantics, you know, like, God, if God is love, He don't send anybody to hell. He doesn't send anybody. What's happening is this. Because of the first Adam, I'm on my way to hell. And the Lamb of God comes and says, Doc, you don't have to go. Just take a turn. Here's the cross. Kneel at it and receive what I gave for you, and you can go to heaven instead. Now, if you don't want that, you can go your own way and do whatever you... God didn't send me. I chose to go. Now, Paul said it like this. Let me kind of head that way anyway. Listen to it. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the Apostle Paul. I think other than in the New Testament times, other than Jesus himself, was one of the greatest men who ever lived. Had the greatest revelation of Jesus. And listen to what he said. He came to preach a meeting to these folks. And this is what he said. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. You mean Paul had a weakness? Said he did. You mean Paul fought against it? Said he did. You mean he had some trembling? Oh, yeah. But watch what he said. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now watch this. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not how smart the pulpit is. It's how big God is through His Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now, I'm happy all the day. Why do I have to carry what I can leave at the cross? Because the revelation of what happened there is the rock on which I build my life. Everybody's building on something. I mean, you know, Bible talks about if you build on seeking, sand or earth, depends on your translation. When the floods come, it'll wash it away. But I want to say something to you. Hell don't have anything that can move the rock of ages. I like what John Osteen used to say, you know, when the devil comes to your house and knocks on your door, send Jesus to the door. And he'll say, excuse me, got the wrong house. Why don't we deny today? It is a night, is it? Don't think it is. I haven't preached that long. But anyway, why don't we stop carrying what we don't have to carry and get rid of what we don't need to carry? Come on now. Why don't we unload what I don't have to carry and lay it at the cross and leave it there? Why don't we do that? I mean, why do I have to carry what He died to free me from? Because Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then he went on to say in Romans 10, 9, listen to it. For with the heart we believe, with the mouth we confess. Homologia, speak the same word. So what do? We believe in our heart, and guess what happens? Guess what happens? Out of your mouth, you speak what the Word said. You don't strike the rock. You speak to the rock, and guess what? The benefits in the rock become part of you and me. That's the gospel. It's not what I can do. It's what He's done. And what He's done, we step into by agreeing with our heart and our words. And there it is. That's the story of Moses and all of that carrying on. It's the story of 16 of Matthew. Who do you say I am? I say He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God who loved me and died for me and died as me and rose again to live in me. Glory to God. It's like the little girl who was at the doctor had a Christian parent, so the doctor had his stethoscope up here, and she said, "Can you hear him?" The doctor said, "Who?" "Jesus, he's right in there." What a revelation. Jesus, right in there. It's like that little boy. I said it last. It's like that little boy right back there at the prayer meeting we came out of praying for the fire. 4-year-old boy gets in the car with his mom and starts crying out, "Mama, the Spirit of God, the Spirit is God fire." For 30 minutes. Prophesying. A 4-year-old prophesying. I believe it. Where's that in the Bible? I can tell you. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Did he understand the theological ramification of the propitiation? No, I don't think so. But I can tell you one thing. Touch of God, and he starts decreeing and declaring something that had been going on in here. So, my challenge to my life. Why don't we, this morning, come to the cross for what I've been carrying and leave it. Robert Morris said, too many of us are like, "Okay, Lord, I'm laying it at the cross. Here it is. Well, if you're not going to do a thing with it, I'll pick it up and take it with me." You leave it. Listen to me now. Once you leave it, just wait for further instructions from there. Are you listening? Once you lay it down, don't pick it up. Wait for more instructions. I was going through an awful time. Not recent. It's been a while. I went downstairs and I was crying. I said, "Lord, I need help." I heard the Lord. He said, "Will you trust me?" I said, "Yes." Now, I left it there. And there were times after that I wanted to go back and pick it up. And every time I wanted to go back and pick it up, I heard that little whisper in my heart, "But you said you'd trust me. You said you'd trust me." See, when you lay it down, I repeat, when you lay it down, leave it there. You say, "Well, it's a sickness." Leave it there. "Well, it's a family." Leave it there. "Well, it's a personal sin." Confess it and leave it there. And don't pick it up. Just wait for further instructions. And I promise you, you'll start drinking water out of the rock. Glory to God. Now, In 1707, an incredible man wrote this song that we've been singing ever since. And please hear the lyrics. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, this morning, sacrifice them to your blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Our thorns composed so rich a crown." Hear it, folks. Hear it in your heart. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You can never give part to the cross. It's all." Let's pray together. And if the worship team would come. Thank you, Jesus. Before our ministry team comes,
I'm going to ask you to be as honest with this is vertical. This is not about me. This is about you and him. It's about my life. Yes, it's about your life. It's about if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior and Lord. This is about you. But it's about us that know him. That this morning, the burden of my heart is I know that God spoke to me and said, I want to take what they're carrying and have them leave it at the cross and wait for further instructions and leave it there. Hallelujah. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed for a moment before we pray. Would you say to the Lord, Lord, there's some things, maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe you're walking with God, but you've been carrying some things that have been weighty. This is an unloading morning. And you want to bring it to the foot of the cross. You're going to leave it. You're not going to take it home. You're not going to get in your car like you came in the spirit. You're just going to lay it down. You're going to leave it there. Wait for further instructions. How many in this building right now would say, but I want to come. I got some things I want to leave at the foot of the cross. And I'm not going home with it. Put your hand up real quick. Real quick. All over the building. Put your hand up. I got some things I want to leave at the cross. Put it up. Don't put this off. You understand me? Don't put this off. God's giving us an invitation. God's given us a place at the cross. And he said, come, come and leave it. As we begin to sing, if you didn't lift your hand, but you wanted to, I'm telling you, I've been praying in my heart that the Spirit of God would give a special anointing down front in these aisles, that you step out, you step into a greater glory of God. And when you get in the car, you can say to your spouse, if you have one, or your family, or alone, you can say, I can't explain this, but I know something happened this morning. So as we begin this thing, I'm going to ask you to do something. And then we will invite the team in just a moment. But I'm going to ask us to stand and begin to sing. You lifted your hand or you wanted to. I want you to find your place quickly. Don't wait on anybody. Just slip out and come. Come right now. If you lifted your hand, I want you to come and find the place at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. Find the place. I want you to come. This is for us. Find the place. Find the place. Come on now. If you wanted to legit, I just couldn't. Come on. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will meet you, will not leave like you came. Just come on. Come on. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now this is between you and him. This is between you and him. Anybody else? I want you to come quickly. Quickly. There's some things I'm going to leave at the cross. Remember, we're not striking the rock. We're talking to the rock. Lord, here I am. I bring this thing I've been carrying. And today, I'm laying it at the foot of the cross, and I'm not going home with it in the name of Jesus. Anybody else, very quickly? Just come on. Just come on. Now I'm going to ask the team, the ministry team, you can just come and begin to, as the Lord directs you, to pray over these people as they need help. But let's let them do business with God. Randy? To pray with you, you raise your hand so they'll know who to come to. Just raise your hands. I need somebody to pray with me.
Go ahead.
There's hope for the hope.